Well, good morning. It's second week of the lockdown in the third wave, and trusting that you're all keeping safe and strong, and the Lord's hand will continue to be on you. Let's pray as we begin our time together. Lord, we thank you again for the wonderful truths in your word, and as we again just study this passage, Lord, and grasp the seriousness of it, Lord. I just pray that you'd speak through it into our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen. Well, we're continuing in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, and I'm reading from verse 26, fairly strong verses to begin with, but some encouraging ones as well. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning, after we have received a full knowledge of the truth, there is no other sacrifice that will cover these sins. There will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. Anyone who refuses to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Think how much more terrible the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and who have treated the blood of the covenant as though it were common and unholy. Such people have insulted and enraged the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy to his people. For we know the one who said, "I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it." He also says, "The Lord will judge his own people." It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't ever forget those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same thing. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. When all you owned was taken from you accepted it with joy. You knew you had better things waiting for you in eternity. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the one coming will come and not delay, and a righteous person will live by faith. But I will tell you, have no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who have turned their backs on God and sealed their fate. We have faith that assures our salvation. Today, I want to remind you again of the things we've learnt about Jesus in the book thus far. And you'll see the reason why. So far, as we've studied the book of Hebrews, we've discovered these wonderful truths. I reminded about you them about some of them about them last week. Some of the things were knowing God is possible. Jesus is Lord of the heavenlies. Jesus is superior to the angels. Jesus is the only one who can truly say, "I'm the greatest." There are 10 reasons why we only need Jesus to encounter God. Is reasons why God's promises always come true in Jesus. Why Jesus is the only priest we'll ever need. Why the superiority of the new covenant is introduced by Jesus. We've learnt about the power in the blood of Jesus. Why Jesus is the only advocate we will ever need, and why only Jesus can make you happen. Why do I want to remind you about that, friends? Because the key to understanding these verses today is in verse 26, the first verse we read. the part that says, and I'm adding, what happens after we have received a full knowledge of the truth? What happens after we have received the full knowledge of the truth? In other words, now that we know what we know, what's next? Let me illustrate it in this way. Imagine someone is dying right there in front of you, and you're the only person with no way of saving them. And they call you over to them to share a secret with you. As you bend over to hear their fading voice, they say, "I've hidden 50 rand at the back of my cupboard. If you find it, you can have it." How would you respond? I'm probably think most of you will say, "Well, okay. If I find it, cool. If I don't, no great loss." But now imagine if that same person said, "I've hidden a key in the back of my cupboard. And if you find it, you can have it. It unlocks a safety deposit box at my bank that contains my will. And that will says the first person to find my will inherit my estate worth 100 million rand. Now let me ask you, how would you respond? You see, friends, the point of this passage is you have received life-giving information. What now? What are you going to do with all this that you have learnt? Last week we looked at how we should respond, but now we're looking at how should we respond? Now that we have this information, what should we do? Well, friends, the writer to the book of Hebrews gives us, and I've called my message this, two compelling reasons why we should acknowledge the superiority of Jesus. Our whole theme, this whole book of Hebrews, has been it's all about Jesus. But these are the two compelling reasons he gives us to acknowledge the superiority of Jesus. First of all, the first compelling reason to acknowledge the superiority of Jesus is, friends, there is no other solution to our sin problem. And he deals with that in verses 26 through to 31. And he's kind of using it as a stick to kind of chase us on. So the first thing he says, because there's no other solution to our sin problem, there is no excuse if we know the truth about Jesus. Listen to what it says in verse 26 to 28. Dear friends, if we continue deliberately sinning after we have received this foolish knowledge of truth, there is no other sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is nothing to look forward to except the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. Anyone who refuses to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Fortunately, friends, this verse says if we deliberately continue to sin. Fortunately, it doesn't say if we sin, for we all fail at some point in time. However, the same sad reality is, friends, there are many who claim to be Christian, many who claim the title Christian, yet they live as pagans. Friends, this passage is clear. There is no excuse if you know the truth about Jesus and still live in your sin. There's no room in the kingdom of God for hypocrites. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 23. He says, watch out for those false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good fruit bears, good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. And then he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does my will by the Father who sits in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Friends, if you know the truth, there is no excuse, because this is the only solution to our sin problem. He said, secondly, because there's no other solution to our sin problem, there is no excuse if we insult the truth about Jesus. Look what he says in verse 29. He says, think how much more terrible the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant as though it were common and unholy. Such people have insulted and enraged the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy on his people. Friends, these are very harsh words. You see, if we insult the truth about Jesus, first of all, we insult the life of Jesus. There are many things that you may reject about Jesus, friends, but surely you cannot reject the life of Jesus. Even pagans acknowledge the wonderful life Jesus lived. Of all of the great religious leaders that have lived, friends, the reality is only Jesus truly backed up his teaching by his life. All the others, they may have had good teaching, but their lives had serious issues. Friends, Jesus is the only one who claimed to be without sin and who claimed to be God. There is no excuse, friends, because if you have an excuse, you're insulting the truth about Jesus. But not only are you insulting the life of Jesus, friend, you're insulting the cross. There are a few more important things to Christianity than the cross. The Apostle Paul makes it so very clear in 1 Corinthians, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ was raised. And if Christ does not be raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So friends, the writer of the book of Hebrews is making it very clear that if we insult Christ, friends, we're insulting the cross. More importantly, if there is anything as more importantly than insulting the cross, if we insult Jesus, friends, we're insulting the Holy Spirit. The Bible only ever mentions one sin that cannot be forgiven. What is that? Mark chapter 3 and verse 20, Simon says, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Friends, you see, by insulting the Holy Spirit, you're actually rejecting Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who introduces us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces us of the truth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, friends, is the one who prompts us to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So by rejecting the Spirit, friends, you're rejecting Jesus. You're insulting the work of the Spirit. So friends, first of all, we're insulting the truth about Jesus. We're insulting There's no excuse if you insult the truth about Jesus. There is no excuse if you insult the life of Jesus. Friends, there is no excuse if you insult the one who sent Jesus. Verse 30 says, "For we know the one who sent, I will take revenge. I will repay those who deserve it." He also said, "The Lord will judge his own people." It's a terrible thing, the Bible tells us, to fall into the hands of the living God. See, what the writer of Hebrews is reminding them of the difference between the revelation of God in the Old and the New Testament, friends. Friends, what he's saying is this: you may reject Jesus, but don't reject the one who spoke about and who sent Jesus to you. Well, the two are the same, we know, as Christians. But friends, God will not be taken lightly. That's the message at the beginning here. You see, the first compelling reason to acknowledge the superiority of Jesus, friends, is there is no other solution to our sin problem. Friends, don't reject Jesus. He's the only one who can answer your sin problem. Nothing else. If you reject him, friends, you're insulting him. But fortunately, there's another more motivating reason. The second compelling reason to acknowledge the superiority of Jesus, friends, is the spark you felt in your heart when you first loved Jesus. There are a number of reasons why relationships fail. One of the easiest to remedy is when a relationship fails because of complacency, friends. Many relationships fail because we get lazy and cease to grow in our love for each other. And the same is true of believers. One of the accusations in the book of Revelation against the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 verses 3 and 4 is this. It says, "You have persevered and have endured hardship for my sake and have not grown weary, but I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." See, friends, the writer of the book of Hebrews was encouraging these folk, these early Christians who were losing their first love. In these verses, the writer to the book of Hebrews is encouraging them to focus on the superiority of Jesus by reminding them about the Jesus they first encountered. Look what he says from verse 32. He says, "When you first loved Jesus, you spent time to get to know him." Verse 32, it says, "Don't ever forget those early days when you first learned about Jesus." I'm amazed at how many people think that they know all there is to know about Jesus. Friends, I've been studying the Bible seriously now for more than 40 years, and I daily discover new truths about Jesus. I'm grateful for many who have told me how much they've enjoyed the devotions I've prepared for them on a daily basis. Do you know that it sometimes takes me almost as much time to prepare a devotion of 100 to 200 words than it takes me to prepare a whole sermon? Sometimes I spend 3 or 4 hours in preparation. The truth is, friends, I spent many hours reading just to capture one critical thought. I first started writing these devotions to encourage you. But now, friends, I write them because I'm blessed, and I want to share that blessing with you. The more I write them, the more I fall in love with God again. Friends, that motivates me to spend time with him. The more truth I discover about him, the more blessed I am to be in him. Secondly, friends, the writer to the Hebrews says, when you first loved Jesus, you were even willing to be persecuted for him. Verse 32 says, remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering? Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. When all you were taken was taken away, you accepted it with joy, and you knew you had better things waiting for you in eternity. Friends, we've all faced a little bit of kind of persecution. I can remember I was first became a Christian a month before I went to Dale, an all-boys school. Friends, being a Christian wasn't the easiest thing in an all-boys school. There were many who were not Christian at all, and even to this day are not believers. But friends, I never forget a story that was told many years ago, around those times. The story was at a time when communism was still in power, in behind what was known as the Iron Curtain. A missionary came to the church and told the story about a persecuted believer behind the Iron Curtain who had heard that Western believers were praying for them that they would remain faithful during the time of their persecution. Well, you know, the persecuted Christian lady wrote back, and she said, it's us who pray for you, because how do you remain faithful when life and faith is so easy? And how true that is, friends. How true it is when it's easy to follow Jesus. Friends, we become half-hearted about it. When it's difficult to follow him, then we show our true colors. Just think of the violence in KZN this last week. People, friends, have become more passionate about somebody who holds the courts in contempt than the courts that uphold the laws. People seem to be more passionate about a Jacob than about a Jesus. How many of us would toy for Jesus? Friend, are we willing to be persecuted for him again? That time may be coming sooner than what you think. Friends, we should be motivated, thirdly, because when you first loved Jesus, you were fully confident in him. Verse 35 says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. No matter what happens, remember your great reward it brings you. I wonder how many believers have abandoned their faith in Jesus because something happened to shake their faith in him. For some, it may be a personal tragedy, something that happened in their lives that kind of made them reject Christ. For some, it may be a failing in the church. But I'm sad to say, friends, for many, it's just the allure of sin. There is more confidence in riches than in Christ. Let me say again, friends, I've been a student of religion for many years, and I'm more confident now than ever that Jesus is who he said he is. All I can do is repeat the words of Peter as I did in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. As the writer to the book of Hebrews encourages them to acknowledge the superiority of Jesus. Fourthly, he says, when you first loved Jesus, you knew he was coming back again. Verse 36 says, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that has been promised. For in a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. Friends, many respond to Christ because of the reality of the second coming. In the early church, they thought Jesus would return in their lifetime. So when Jesus did not come back as soon as they thought, they began to abandon the faith. But friends, never forget, Jesus is coming again. Friends, that's why we should be passionate about him. He's coming again, and that time is soon. As you've heard me say so many times, I don't know when, but one thing I know, it's one day sooner than yesterday. I read a great sign this last week, reflecting on the promise of Jesus in John 14, that he was going to prepare a place for us. It was written in a style of a notice you put in a shop door. And it said this, please wait, gone to Dad's house to prepare a visit for when you come to visit, to prepare a room for when you come to visit. See you soon. What a great idea. Please wait, gone to Dad's house to prepare a room for when you come to visit. See you soon. Friends, Jesus is coming again. So we've seen these two compelling reasons to acknowledge the superiority of Jesus. The first one is there's no other solution to our sin problem, friends. You better believe in Jesus because there's no other solution. Friends, the second one is remember your first love. Friend, acknowledge the superiority of Jesus. Jesus wrote that in your heart. How do we do that? How must we respond? Verse 38 tells us, a righteous person will live by faith. But I have no pleasure in one who turns away. But we are not like those who have turned their back on God and sealed their faith. We have faith that assures our salvation. In the end, friend, it's about faith. You got to believe who Jesus is, friends. It's a matter of faith. You either believe it or you don't. Don't live with half-hearted faith. Don't live in such a way that the Lord wants to spit you out because you're lukewarm. Why does the Lord want to spit people out who are lukewarm, friends? Because they've lost their first love. Become passionate about acknowledging the superiority of Jesus, even, friends, if you do it out of fear, but rather do it out of love. Live by faith and faith alone. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the faith that you have provoked within us. Help us to respond to you in that faith. Help us to live by faith, Lord, in every moment of our lives, recognizing that there's no one else we can put our trust in, Lord, only you. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, keep safe during this week. I trust that we'll be able to meet again next Sunday. I'm not so sure whether it's going to happen, but I'm praying that the Lord would keep us all safe. Lord be with you in Jesus' name. Amen.